listening to Faith and Family. I'm Sarah Golseth. One of the things we like to talk about on Faith and Family is mercy, how our church body shows the love of Christ in acts of mercy to people around the world. Last fall, if you remember, Hurricane Matthew devastated Haiti, which was and is still recovering from the massive earthquake in 2010. So, with me in studio today is Reverend Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response, to talk about the successful relief effort we've been able to provide in Haiti. Welcome, Ross.
Thank you, Sarah.
So, give me a little bit of background for what LCMS Disaster Response is, what they've done, what kind of disasters we've responded to.
LCMS Disaster Response works internationally and nationally. We try to work through LCMS congregations when it's in the United States. And one blessing that we have is over 6,000 LCMS congregations. So when a natural disaster happens in the United States, a lot of times we'll have a congregation that is in that area or nearby. And we use that congregation as a hub of outreach and mercy into the community. And we help out with helping hands, whether it's helping people mitigate flood damage, if there's a tornado, helping them remove debris. And then we also help with spiritual care. There's so many other organizations that do great helpful work, helping with flood mitigation and things like that. But one thing that we as the church do, as congregations that are in the midst of a disaster when it happens, is we can also give spiritual hope and comfort to people that are going through something that's traumatic in their life. Usually when someone's house is flooded or they've lost everything to a disaster, they're also going through a spiritual crisis. So it's not just helping hands and it's just not money that they need. They need both. And that's where we can step in.
And that spiritual care, I would think, is a pretty significant part of the healing process for those people.
Absolutely. And it's something that nobody else can do. Then when we show up, whether it's lay people or pastors or deaconesses or an elder in a church, and they're helping side by side somebody that's cleaning up their home, they can also bring those words of comfort. We can proclaim the gospel even in the midst of a disaster. So when a disaster happens, there's no cookie cutter where every single disaster is the same and there's no perfect catchphrases that you can have or use. But there is a hope that we have in Christ, that our hope isn't found in the brokenness of this world, but rather it's in a relationship with God and the forgiveness that He brings. And our best life isn't now, but it's in the world that is to come. And we can remind people that we have a hope, a sure confidence that we have a Lord and Savior who loves us and cares for us, even when we don't understand what's happening around us. And we can share the hope that there is heaven where there will no longer be that brokenness. And that's something that we emphasized, proclaiming the gospel in the wake of disaster. Internationally, we do something very similar. We have over 30 partner churches that we work with across the world. And so when a disaster happens in their country, we try to support our national church partners by teaching them, training them, giving them resources to show mercy and compassion, and then to connect those people that have been affected by disaster with the gospel message.
Now, you said that this disaster response in Haiti is one of the best that disaster response has done. Why is that?
Yeah, it's kind of a strange way to phrase it, right?
Yeah.
A great disaster response. One thing that I can say that has been very wonderful and encouraging to me is to be able to have a partner church that is not only enthusiastic and willing, but we see that we're able to help with the very most core essential needs that a church body has. When Hurricane Matthew a few months ago cut through like a laser across Haiti, it went through a very densely populated Lutheran area that's extremely remote. The area that was affected was the area of Lacaille and Jeremy in Haiti. And Haiti is one of the most impoverished countries in the Western Hemisphere. And then where we went, out into the villages far away from the capital, was one of the poorest parts of one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. So we were really seeing tremendous needs that people have, just human needs. Even without the hurricane, there were tremendous needs for education, for food, for clothes, for the gospel message itself. And then when the hurricane went through, it destroyed the poorest of the poorest homes. It destroyed over 50 churches. It destroyed the roofs of over 50 Lutheran pastors. It's really hard to do ministry in the wake of a disaster as a church body, or it was for the church in Haiti, when the pastors don't even have a roof over their own families' heads. It's hard when you don't even have a church structure left. Now, of course, the church has continued to worship in Haiti. However, it is nice to be able to have a roof or a structure. The churches that are in these remote villages in Haiti are not elegant by any developed country's standards. And what we're helping them rebuild isn't anything that's elaborate either. But for them in their context, it is a blessing for them to have a church. And it says something to the community in Haiti that the church cares about them, cares about their community.
That's wonderful. So what are you primarily focusing the relief response on?
After a hurricane or a storm of this magnitude, you go there and you're absolutely overwhelmed, and you have to be focused and you have to be strategic. After consulting with the district president where the storm hit in the Lutheran Church of Haiti, Pastor Paul Talut is the district president. We surveyed some of the damage a few months ago. We got together with a couple of other Lutheran registered, recognized service organizations, and then we kind of came up with this strategic plan. And the strategic plan was to focus on roofs and clean water. We did some other things like emergency food at the first couple of weeks or month of the storm. We also did some nursing clinics and cholera vaccines and education. But the primary emphasis was clean water and roofs. It seemed like one of the most essential things that we could do as a church. And it was one of the greatest needs that they had. So we began the disaster response by bringing in over 120 meals. And we chartered some flights and we brought those in. Now, that seems like a lot, but the idea was just to take care of the immediate needs the first few weeks. And those meals went fast. Mm-hmm. Rice, beans, some of the kind of staple foods. And then we worked with some Lutherans to bring nurses, and they scattered amongst the hurricane area. In Haiti, because of the impoverished conditions and the lack of basic sanitation, cholera is a big epidemic that breaks out, especially after a big storm. Mm-hmm. Since cholera is waterborne, after a hurricane, it's at its worst. Then also, with all the standing water, you have more problems with mosquitoes and malaria. And for most of the small villages, they only have a third or fourth grade education by Haitian standards. So the education and just basic knowledge that we might have, they don't have there. So the education that the nurses were able to bring about health sanitation was very helpful. So the long-term sustainment things that we wanted to do was to put roofs back on pastors' homes and then to help rebuild churches. But as we're doing that, simultaneously, we're putting in deep freshwater wells. The wells are dug about 150 feet deep, and they are pump mechanized. That way, they are able to get to sanitary water that won't be polluted with storms or anything like that. And it's a blessing to have water. The wells are an amazing blessing. It's a legacy program or project that we're able to do because we put these wells in Lutheran communities, and we try to put them where their congregation's located.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful thing to break down barriers that many people have to the gospel message. In Haiti, voodoo is a very, very prevalent false religion. And there's a lot of superstitions and false understandings about what Christians do and what Christians are.
Mm-hmm.
So putting that well that brings the community to the doorsteps, literally, of the church, it breaks down barriers and superstitions and false understandings, and it shows that Christians care and they love the community and that Christians want to help. We went out and we toured three of those wells that were installed, the first three, and the pastor was elated. He was almost giddy and beside himself because he was able to offer this to his community. And all of the community was all around the wells. And you could see the children were there just to be able to have clean, fresh water. The parents were excited in the community because they knew that the water that the Lutherans were providing them wouldn't make their children sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wells have been huge opportunities, not only to help our neighbor in their need, but also to show the love of Christ to the community that was in dire need.
Sure. That's a great twofold way to reach people and to not only provide a need for them, but to also witness the gospel to people who may either have never heard it or have deep misunderstandings of what it actually is.
Exactly. And that's a great project that shows that when Lutherans care for their community, they don't only care for Lutherans, but they also care for the non-believer and maybe even the person that is hostile to the gospel and even doing voodoo spells against the work of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the midst of the craziness and the crazy spiritual warfare that's going on, Christians still show love in words and in deeds.
Sure. So two big things are building those roofs back on churches and for the pastors and the wells. Now, who are you working with for these projects?
One blessing that we've had is in Haiti, there's a few Lutheran recognized service organizations. These are organizations that have years of experience of work, that have been vetted by the synod, that have a board of directors, that have a credibility behind them. And we connect and we're working through three of those service organizations. And the blessing to us is they have a long history of working in Haiti. They know how to navigate this political system in Haiti and the best practices of working in Haiti, so that when we're working with those recognized service organizations, we know that there is accountability for the work that is being done and that there is a strategic game plan that is being followed, so that we're doing the best strategic and financial planning that we can with the resources that we have to get, so to speak, the best bang for the buck, so that we are being responsible for the donations that we're receiving. For us, accountability is a very important issue. For any grants that we give out, we always have a grant reporting process. And so working with these recognized service organizations, we've been able to get the funds into the country. We've been able to buy the tin for the roofs and the sheet metal for the roofs locally. So we don't have to import them from the United States. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to make new connections. All these connections are already in place for us so that we can be fast and efficient with the Lord's resources that we have, so that we can bless the most amount of people as possible. And for me, when I go there and I tour the dramatic need that's there, I want to be able to help the most people in the most efficient way as possible. And working through our network of recognized service organizations, it's been a great thing. And I got to tell you, one of the greatest things that we've been able to find, and I know I'm using a lot of superlatives, it's because I'm really excited about this. We found an organization that was highly reputable, Water for Life, and they have a branch that's been in Haiti for over 30 years.
Wow.
They have a lot of experience and a great reputation for the work that they do. We were able to partner with them, the Lutheran Church and Water for Life, to dig the deep water wells. Normally a well cost about $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to supply about $7,000 of those dollars. So we, as the Lutheran Church, we partner with them and we give them $5,000 to put a well where Bishop Paul Talut, the regional director, the district president in Haiti, he decides where those wells go. We pay them the $5,000 and we get a $12,000 well.
That's awesome.
And to me, great stewardship with the Lord's money, and we're able to do so much more working together with others. But those wells go into the Lutheran communities that we're able to identify, and they're connected to the gospel message and the love of Christ.
Sure. Tell me a little bit more about the process of identifying and rebuilding a roof for a church. What all goes into that?
That's one of the reasons that we work so closely with the national church. They know their country better than we do. They know the needs of their country more. They know the needs of their congregations the best. So we take the lead of the national church leadership, in this case, the district president, which was affected, District President Paul Talut. And he was helping us identify and prioritize the different places that we're working in, what roofs need to go on first, and the best way of going about doing it. With another language, another culture, another way of doing things in a different context, it's really important to have godly, wise men like Pastor Paul Talut to be able to partner with him, so that we as the body of Christ can do this work together.
Sure.
And when you're in disaster response, especially working through the church, you can see how this is the body of Christ here in the United States helping the body of Christ elsewhere in the world. For in this context, in Haiti, where it is people from across the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who have passion in their hearts for those who have lost everything. And we have so many lay people that have been affected by the gospel in profound ways that they want to be a blessing with that same gospel message to others. And they give to LCMS Disaster Response. And then in return, we can work with our partner churches and they can bless their community and their members in whatever country that they're in. So it's neat to see this whole partnership in the amazing work that's able to be done.
Sure. So how many roofs have you completed then?
So far, we've completed 50 roofs.
Wow.
Each roof cost about $1,000.
Wow.
One thing that I didn't know until I started traveling is when you go to developing countries, you think everything is just going to be dirt cheap. And sometimes for unskilled manual labor, it is inexpensive. Buying mangoes and rice and beans on the street, that can be inexpensive. But the vast majority of everything else when you go to developing countries is more expensive, sometimes two or three or four times the cost of what it is in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
If you go outside the United States, usually gas costs two to three times more money than it does in the United States. If you want to go and buy the regular stuff that you would go and buy at Walmart, you have to expect to pay about two to three times more money. It's because the country doesn't have the buying power, they don't have the importation, they have heavy taxes, and so it really affects the impoverished community the most.
Right.
So to buy metals, to buy the materials, to put a humble roof on a house is about $1,000, but we've been able to put 50 roofs on, but that starts to add up.
Right.
That was $50,000 just in roofs that we've been able to purchase and
sure.
to build. And it takes time for the labor to do that. We want to make sure that it's done properly and thoroughly.
Right. So how many are left?
The pastor's roofs were essentially done with that project. Next, what we want to start working on is rebuilding so many of these churches. A few of the churches, they just need roofs. But a church is so much bigger than a house. You're paying multiple times more to get the sheet metal, and then mm-hmm. you have to buy the framing structure that goes underneath the roof. But a lot of the small village churches, they were completely decimated all the way down to the foundation. So there are also walls and doors that need to be built, and the roof structure and the actual roofing material itself. Many times for a humble village church, it's about $10,000-ish, depending on, you know, the distance that you have to carry the materials and the location that it's at. So we might think $10,000 is nothing in the United States. You couldn't build anything for that, but they are so grateful for all those donations that we're able to bring. LCMS Disaster Response, unlike the government, we don't give out money that we don't have. So the money that we give in project is the money that we've received directly through donations, whether it's individuals across the synod or congregations that give to LCMS Disaster Response. And they say, come, can you be a blessing to the communities that you're helping in the name of Christ?
Sure. So what's on the horizon up next for this response in Haiti? What are you looking forward to doing?
We're starting to rebuild the churches, and that is a monumental task. It's going to be a little bit slower, but it's going to be fruitful. I was mentioning to somebody that essentially what we're doing in the southern regional district of the church in Haiti is we're rebuilding the infrastructure, the actual buildings themselves,
mm-hmm.
what's taken 25 years we're trying to do within one year.
Sure.
Now, that sounds like a lot, but many of these village churches, they will have 100 people on a typical Sunday showing up for their services.
Mm-hmm.
So the people are there. There's many orphanages and Lutheran schools that are in the area, and there's enthusiasm for the community. So you're not having to do the evangelism in the sense of we're just building a church and hoping people will come. The people are already there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an enormous blessing. We're just trying to make sure that those structures that the storm destroyed are able to be put back in place so people can have a place of worship.
Sure. So what kind of support does Disaster Response still need? What are you still in need of in order to complete these projects?
What we'd like to do is we'd like to be able to put in about 20 more wells.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wonderful to put in communities across southern Haiti. Like I said, it's the poorest of the poor communities. Clean water is so essential, just to basic hygiene. The amount of people in Haiti that die of dirty water is astronomical. And part of that can be solved by just having a deep water well. And these wells, it's not a project that we do and it lasts a year or two. Many times these will last for decades.
Wow.
They put in the best quality into the construction of the wells. So mm-hmm. we're hoping that these will almost last a generation. So it's truly a legacy project that we're able to do. And we also want to complete prayerfully all of the churches and rebuild all of them. But that depends on the amount of donations that we bring. $5,000, whenever we can get to that $5,000 mark, we're able to put in a well. $10,000-ish, we're able to rebuild a church. And when 50 of the churches are knocked down, that ends up being a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
We think $10,000, but when it's multiplied times 50, it adds up pretty quick.
Sure. Is there anywhere that people who want to see the progress can look at pictures or read stories about what's happening?
Yeah, two places. We have a Facebook site that I would welcome anybody to subscribe to and like. That way you're getting updates on the work that LCMS Disaster Response is doing on a regular basis. So if you go to Facebook and you type in LCMS Disaster Response, it'll pull up our page, you like it, and then you'll be able to get updated on different projects that we're doing, try and put updates and videos and pictures. When I was in Haiti last week, I was able to do a bunch of Facebook Lives right in front of the wells that we were digging and installing, right in front of the new roofs of the pastor's homes, as we were giving out bags of rice to the poorest of the villages, so that people could kind of go along for the ride and see the work that's being done in the name of them and in the name of the church and in the name of Christ.
There were two, you said, Facebook and...
Our website also is a great place to
sure.
go to, lcms.org/disaster.
Okay.
And on that, we try to have resources and pictures and updates and financial accountability about the work that we're doing and how we're doing it and why we're doing it. So lcms.org/disaster.
Wonderful. And you mentioned that you were just in Haiti, was it last week?
Yes, we were there for a five-day follow-up. Every few months, we want to go back. We want to see the work. A disaster scene and a disaster debris field also is something that's not static, but it's dynamic. And you go back and the country has totally different needs a few months later.
Sure.
So we wanted to check in on how the disaster response was going.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see, do we need to adjust what we're doing? We need to have a conversation with Pastor Paul Talut and say, what changes do you see? What are the most needs? How do we need to adjust our strategic plan? Strategic planning after disaster is absolutely critical to get the best value out of the work that we're doing.
Sure.
And we want to help as many people as possible. So it just makes sense to have those follow-up visits and those conversations and to see what the needs are and how we can communicate those needs.
Sure.
But Sarah, I got to tell you, the people are so thankful for the work that is being done. The people that you meet, it almost blurs together the amount of ladies that will come up to me and just thank me. And it's not me they're trying to thank. They're really trying to thank all the people that are partnering with LCMS Disaster Response, crying and thanking them that their church has been rebuilt.
That's wonderful.
That they have a place to go and to worship, that their pastor has a home. Like in the United States, people deeply care for their pastors and their pastor's most basic needs. In Haiti, it's the same way. When they see their pastor that cares about them and loves them, and he sees their family without a roof over their heads and their children in the rain, in Haiti, it rains on a very regular basis, and they see the basic human needs, and people are kind of covered under a partial tarp that's a few feet by a few feet in the rain. They are so grateful to see their pastor back with a roof over their head.
That's wonderful. Well, we are all out of time. My guest today, Reverend Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.